You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of June 18th, 2014, and I hate Los Angeles.
I hate LA. We hate it.
Is that a song?
Yeah, it's Randy Newman, the I Love LA. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast, and my name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alboy.
We're the co-creators behind ExperiencePoints.net.
Ooh, behind it.
Yeah. In front of it. Through it. Let it flow through. it is a serious but not humorous conversation about video games that is in the rock, the swamp.
It is. We are everywhere.
Yeah.
The cool breath of life.
You? Well, we are everywhere. Even when we're not together, we send out our spies, in this case, George.
Our birds.
Our little birds tell us about things that happened in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Last week, the Electronic 3. Yeah. The E-Thrizzle, Electronic Entertainment Expo. The Exposition.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Age Exposition. in Los Angeles. Wrapped up last week. I was watching from afar. George was down there for both professional and, I'm assuming, punishment reasons. Someone forced you to go down there.
Yes, all of the above.
Yeah. So we decided we'd do a little recap of some of our impressions on the show, what we're looking forward to, any surprises, anything that we want to talk about for E3.
Yeah, there's always a lot to talk about, and I think that for E3, you know, if you want to read the news, by all means, it's all out there. We're just going to focus on our general
facts.
If you want, quote-unquote, facts, if you want all the hottest scoops, we're just going to talk about some of our impressions. Yeah. I think we're going to start with the press conferences.
Yeah. Before we do press conferences, should we talk about impressions overall? Like, you were on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. How was it this year? What was the vibe?
Very similar to last year.
All right.
There's a lot of lights.
Right.
A lot of noises, a lot of techno going on. A lot of techno beats.
Roughly as crowded, or did it feel less more?
No, it feels just as crowded.
Just about the same?
Yeah, just about the same. Yep. I think there's a higher level of excitement, though, this year.
Mm.
I mean, what everyone... Yeah, because of, you know, the games.
Yeah. Well, yesterday, I mean, last year it was like...
Right.
Excited because there was hardware. Like, oh, big E3. Yeah.
And as everyone suggested, right, this was the year where people were going to actually be trotting out and revealing some of the games that are the officially next gen. Or I think at this point,
current gen. Yeah.
Now. This is now current gen. We're in it. We're here. That is the reality of what's going
to
happen.
They trotted out the games that are going to be for these current systems.
Mm-hmm.
We will have to wait till next year to play all of them.
To play, yeah, the vast majority. But everyone has their reason now, right?
Right.
Like, walking around the show floor, you know, I met a bunch of people who had one or other next-gen console or no next-gen consoles. And they would all say, oh yeah, this is the game that will make me buy an Xbox One. This is the game that will make me buy a PS4.
Yeah.
So everybody has their reasons now because we've seen all of the announcements. We know what is to come.
Right. All right, so starting off press conferences, I watched the Microsoft one.
Yes, Microsoft.
Let's see, what did they talk about? Call of Duty. Call of Duty with a little bit of Titanfall, a little bit of Tribes mixture in there.
Yep.
Advanced Warfare, I think they're calling it.
Yeah, it looks pretty flashy.
Yeah, a little bit Kevin more verticality.
Spacey.
Yes.
We're getting...
They got the what would they call it? Like, House of COD.
House of COD.
Yeah.
I like that. There's like booster packs or a jet. They're not really jet packs.
Yeah,
in the game.
They're like double jump packs, basically.
It's basically what Halo had that.
Yeah.
A few games ago.
Yeah, it is.
They're slowly catching up to.
We've been talking about this for the year, and like, who knows if it's going to happen or not. But like, it's like, this is Call of Duty's answer to Titanfall and Halo, and probably to a lesser extent Destiny.
Yep. This is an FPS like roundhouse right now. Like, there's just so many little back and forth in design for how the FPS genre is shaping up and turning out to be over the coming years.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a robot arm in this game.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yeah, because you lose that arm
in the
trailer.
Yeah. So you're gonna have a mech arm.
Yeah, exactly.
You think guns and like missiles are gonna come out of it?
Oh, I certainly think that you will be able to fire something out of that.
Yeah.
Out of your robot arm,
but only once. only like a 10 second clip.
It'll have like a cool down thing. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of thing where a HUD comes out of it so that you can control a drone with your robot arm. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking about that ever since I saw a lot of severed things in this
year's E3. E3. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of severed things. A lot of
lost limbs this year.
My next note on the MS press conference is don't know nothing about Forza.
Yeah, Forza 5, is it?
Sure, that sounds right.
They had a car there, as they do every year.
Was it a cool car?
Oh, I'm sure it was. I don't know what it is. It was like a McLaren, I think?
That sounds expensive.
That sounds expensive.
But, you know, it's an Xbox.
Yeah, they were showing it off.
It's official. There's some Forza. I think the big one that probably most people, like us, are more excited about is Evolve.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm very excited for Evolve.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to play it, sadly, on the show floor. There was quite a bit of a queue, and I was super busy, but
I feel like that's a game where there's going to be a lengthy beta process. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to come out October 7th.
Yeah.
So that's pretty soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm all over
enough
that.
Enough for them to have like a summertime beta. Like.
Yeah. Know. I mean, so it was interesting, and this is true of Call of Duty and all of the other announcements that they made at Microsoft, but the big way now that these two companies try to pull you in one direction or another is not exclusive games, but exclusive betas for like, oh, you can play.
Get this, it first.
Yeah, two weeks. Yeah. Or the DLC will come, but first it will come to us. So if you want to like get on the ground floor, you know, you've got to come to us for it. Which is interesting, because as far as I know, Evolve is also coming to PC.
Oh, yeah.
But it's same it's as a like major, Destiny. Yeah, so is Destiny. So there are a lot of other games. But they want to rep why they're significant with these little sort of add-ons. Yep. Same with Call of Duty. They're like, oh, yeah, the DLC will come first to Xbox One.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's like, I mean, I'm just wondering, is there even a reason to have these types of press conferences anymore? Yeah. Like, is that enough to sell you?
I heard many people say the same thing, where it's like, not only that, but like just from a logistical perspective, it's getting to the point where it's kind of like, you know, American football, like the best seat in the house is your couch.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are we doing this? They're live streaming everything. Like, the trailer is out the second they announce it, so it's not like you have to be there, and it's not like you have to buy the Game Informer issue a month later to get the exclusive.
I mean, like, it could be like how Obama does press conferences, you know, like Microsoft reps come walk down the long hallway to a podium, and there's like five pressers there, and it's broadcast live, and they go through their roundup, and they go, thanks, everybody, that was awesome.
I mean, that's kind of what they do, except that they do want to get people hands-on, so, like, I feel like they could just live stream a thing and then either just open up a beta and push it out to everyone remotely.
I mean, we're jumping ahead, but that's exactly what Sony did, right? Yeah. They were like, oh, by the way, Destiny, you can go you can go play it right now.
Right.
You know, check out the alpha on PlayStation 4.
They did that, they did that with the new EA game.
Battlefield Hardline. Yeah,
Battlefield Hardline. But yeah, so before we get to that, a couple other Microsoft highlights. One of the things, one of the like actually rare new things, was Sunset Overdrive from Insomniac.
Jet Set Radio Zombie, as I like to call it.
It looked a lot like other Insomniac, like either Sly games or what's the Infamous? Infamous, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, which actually doesn't make me very excited about it, because I don't like how those games feel.
So I've talked to everyone all of the people that I'm familiar with, I talk with about games. Yeah. No one is excited about this game.
Yeah, it looks really generic is the problem for me.
Is that true? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but it feels like it's outlandish and over the top, and I thought that's what we were into these days. Like, didn't I get a memo that was saying, Saints Row's awesome, you know?
Yeah, but Saints Row has personality, whereas this
doesn't have personality?
There's some mutants.
Yeah.
Like, is anyone doing the Carlton in this game?
Probably maybe. Not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, is...
You don't
is,
think the movement through the landscape looks fun?
I think it looks a lot like Infamous, and for me, it feels too floaty and at the same time sticky. Like, I don't feel like those characters... Again, I'm talking about Infamous. I feel like those games are dull to me because I never feel like there's a sense of danger for traversal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of almost gray boxing around this environment.
It's like Assassin's Creed or something.
Kind of, but even Assassin's Creed, it feels weightier than the Insomniac games. But I totally admit that I'm probably not in the majority for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did some things in the trailer that were kind of clever and funny, but I don't know. I feel like this... I don't know. It doesn't really seem like, besides the huge crowd control things, that I haven't really seen much that I've never seen before in this game.
Interesting.
You know? I don't know. It's, I'm not, like, maliciously...
No, but you're not the only one. I mean, this is something I hear all the time of people saying, oh, yeah, it looks kind of humdrum and boring. And
Battlefield Hardline is actually something that I am, like, more actively like, this is, guys, what are we doing here?
Like, oh, you mean, like, this is a huge...
This is a freaking mod. Like,
yeah.
What is happening?
People seem to be pretty upset by that.
Well, people are...
Battlefield fans.
People are also upset because Battlefield 4 remains broken to this day.
Right.
And so they're you know, irritated by that. So,
you know what's a, real quick, before we leave Sunset Overdrive, what's a little bit more unsettling is the character design. Mm-hmm. Their faces just look like a scary adaptation of a vagina. Did you notice that? No. I mean, I'm serious. Like, this is, yeah. I find this seriously troubling that they're playing off of, like, the female vagina as opposed to, you know.
As opposed to that male vagina?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Like,
no, no. You're talking about the mutants, right?
The mutants are, like, this grotesquity that is playing off of, like, you know, genitalia.
Yeah, it's... The grotesque, basically.
Take a look at
interesting.
Them.
All now
if
with this new
lens.
If everyone
knows what a vagina looks like,
just,
I don't know. I'm just saying.
So my favorite thing that I saw in the press conference was the Dead Rising 3 DLC with all of the Capcom stars in it.
Yeah, that's so weird.
I thought that was nuts. Yeah. And that was like the best thing that I could have seen at that point. Ori and the Blind Forest was something that I feel like was like one kind of throw to like the indie type crowd.
From what I hear, Microsoft is buying up indie devs because they're making a rush, and I think they're realizing that one of the reasons people justify the purchase of a PS4 is that they have access to all of these indie titles.
Right.
I think Ori and whatever is similar. It's in that same vein. It's by the same people who did Limbo, right? Or no, that's another
that's
one.
The
of
other
indie,
one.
Indie showcases.
I forget what that was called. I probably have it in my notes here at some point. But yeah, I mean, it seems like it's going to be a neat game, and also, you know, visually it's interesting.
Yeah.
The other one that I saw in their little montage was there's a game called Cuphead, which looked like a wild, like, 1940s or 30s era Disney or Warner Brothers cartoon.
Yeah, completely hand-drawn.
Yeah, I thought that looked amazing.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous, but all I've seen is, like, one tiny fight scene.
Exactly. I don't know what that game is. I imagine it's some sort of side-scrolling brawler type thing, but it looked amazing.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous game.
Microsoft also showed some other like cross-platform games that we could talk about. I think the next Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Which no one is surprised that they're making another Tomb Raider, but I liked this trailer a lot.
So did I. Yeah. The direction of Lara as suffering from PTSD.
Yeah.
And not confronting it.
Yeah.
Making her like almost suicidal and like dangerous.
Yep.
That is a great idea, and that's exactly what we talked about.
Yep.
Was
what
the feeling
they could
we
do
got
with it.
Right at the end of the last game.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they're not just like going to brush it under the rug and be like, "Here's another adventure." Yeah. Like, "Here's a T-Rex this time." Like,
theoretically, here's a T-Rex. They might still do T-Rexes.
They might. That's true. But the point is that they're going to continue with the character arc, and it was also unlike their first set of trailers. It was not like an objectifying trailer. Yeah. It was like someone. It is about. Her character specifically, and her talking with someone that truly does not get what she went through.
Yeah, I
just thought it was a great trailer.
And it's called Rise of Tomb Raider.
Terrible name.
Awful. This is like Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
We've got Dark Knight Rises.
I mean, pretty much like, you know, there was literally a video game last year called Rise. It is a trope that we need to get rid of. I don't know. Sidebar, like, is there, I'm not a marketing genius, but like, is there must somewhere, there is some study that says
Rise
if you,
super
successful. Like Rise, you put that name in there and like people are
they
nuts.
Did a bunch of like user tests, like what are things that you enjoy? Rising?
Yeah.
Sitting?
People like rising.
Rising seems really positive.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good teaser, even though, I mean, I feel like we kind of know how the game's going to be, but like at this point it's just the important thing is knowing where they're going to take the story.
Yeah.
And I think it was a really effective trailer.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I also wrote down for the Microsoft press conference, no services, no TV or brand bullshit.
Yeah, so this is the big thing in my book,
is
I was kind of blown away by the fact that they did not mention, I mean, as far as I remember, they didn't mention Kinect.
Yeah, well.
They didn't mention, like, we own your TV, we are in your living room, we are, you know, we are where gamers go, and the entertainment suites, there was no announcement about HBO Go is easier than ever, we're like a set-top box, or blah, yada, yada, yada. None of that stuff.
Yep.
It was just games.
Yep.
That seems like a crazy desperate turnaround from last year.
It is. It's rare to see a company the size and scope of Microsoft make such a change in such a short amount of time.
Yep.
Last year, exactly 1 year ago, they were telling us that it's a media hub. Connect is going to be everywhere. And there's zero mentions of that this year.
No mention of their tablet and the way that it interfaces with the console.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot they left behind. And they're still putting money into those things.
Yeah.
So the idea that it has no presence seems to me drastic, drastic direction change for their marketing.
It's just a multinational corporation. Like, those are big yachts that take a long time to turn around. Like, it's pretty amazing how fast that happened.
When they called it quits, like, when the conference was over, I was like, that's crazy. Yeah. I kind of loved it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think it's necessarily the best idea. I mean, you know, Sony didn't do that.
Right. It's impressive, if nothing more.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I guess I just did them in order here, because next on my list I have Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Battlefield.
Battlefield.
Hardline. Yeah. Actually, no.
Although they mentioned Battlefront as well. Woo, doggy. I guess so,
but my note here says, why do people care about Battlefront?
Because that game is fucking awesome. What do you mean, why do people care about Battlefront?
Okay, I'm going to say something kind of trollish right here. I feel like people got into Star Wars Battlefront because they either A, didn't own a PC at the time and couldn't play a Battlefield, or B, were desperate to play a Star Wars game that wasn't garbage.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, again, Battlefront is not... The reason people played Battlefront was not because it was the best game ever.
Right.
But it was an approach to the Star Wars franchises in games that, one, wasn't garbage, and two, was trying to give you a larger sense of scale that Battlefield had mastered.
Yeah.
Battlefront was never as good as Battlefield. Everybody knows that.
Right.
But people were willing to go that direction.
Yeah.
So at the announcement that Battlefront is being made today, with all of the knowledge that we have of what works and doesn't work, I'm so hopeful. I think everyone's hopeful for that. It could be great.
Yeah. How much... What do you think the value of all of those props that they got to model and stuff is?
What do you mean?
The millions of dollars? Like, they showed that little sizzle reel of, like, we went to Lucas. And, I mean, it is created, like, you know, in conjunction with Lucas. And so they saw, like, you know, they have, like, really deep access to all of those, you know, Lucas assets. And they showed all their supercomputers and stuff and in-engine footage, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just, they really hammered home the technology side of it.
Yep.
Kind of because it seems like the game maybe doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, and that's true for multiple of EA's presentations. Like, the trailers were almost more design-focused.
Yeah.
That's true because I don't think any
of the things that they showed are coming out in 2014, besides Battlefield.
Well, and Dragon Age Inquisition comes out this year.
Oh, really?
Doesn't it?
Oof, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it does.
Okay. All right.
I could be wrong.
That's fine. Maybe. All I know is that their studio general manager said all the feels when... and then I nearly threw my computer across the room.
Yeah, they get a little tacky. They tried that Ellen selfie as well at the press conference. I forget his name. The EA spokesperson tried to do like a selfie.
Oh, jeez.
And then have everybody retweet it from the show.
Oh, my goodness.
It was awkward.
Okay.
It was awkward.
I thought Dragon Age itself was like a large departure from what Dragon Age 2 may have been. Like, I feel like they made it seem like a huge action game.
Well, a lot of people hate Dragon Age 2.
But the people that love it really love it. Like,
well, yeah, sure, but like, catering to the small vocal few isn't going to make you millions.
I guess so. It almost had a Monster Hunter vibe to me. Like, they didn't really show the, like, freeze time and plan out your attack type things. That stuff exists, I found out later.
Yeah.
But they didn't, you know... They didn't hype that.
I watched their gameplay video that they had on the E3 show floor where they like walked through some of the games. And it's interesting, that EA didn't show off some of the more complex things. I think maybe they were afraid to scare people off. It looks incredibly impressive, and it was easily my favorite thing at E3 this year entirely.
Just because, go into that a little bit more. Like, was it the multiplayer?
So it's partly the multiplayer. It's partly their commitment to this huge, large-scale world, right? So before before I decided, yes, Dragon Age Inquisition, which, by the way, was the last thing I saw at E3. Literally, it was like 4:30.
They're closing the doors.
Everyone's like, get the fuck out. Yeah. I'm breaking in. No!
Dragon Age.
Dragon Age! And I had just seen the Witcher 3 demo, and the Witcher 3 demo looked fantastic. It looked really good.
I think that might be the first Witcher game I play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks excellent.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of that Skyrim feel, right? When he says, like, see that big-ass tree over there?
Yeah.
You could go there, and you could go even farther. Yeah. Anywhere you can look, you can go.
But also, here's a wild amount of combos and weird tonics you have to drink.
Like, yeah. Dragon Age felt similar in a way. Yeah. But when they broke down into... And they moved back and forth between the action combat and the strategic combat, it seemed to be so much more fluid than anything that I've seen before. Mm. Like, you know, they really genuinely created a thing where, yeah, you can hack and slash, and you can have a great time, and then you can go and plan your moves.
Mm.
And when you plan your moves, time stops. It doesn't,
like it always happens in Dragon. Like, yeah, but that's what it does. But like,
I guess maybe it's extra gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks amazing, but it's just, they really didn't, I mean, they took as much RPG away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, like another thing that I thought was really cool is you could, it's not just that, okay, you can scale back and then move your guys around. Like, you can keep watching the battle from that point of view as your guys go and do their specific timed thing. So they had this cool setup where, you know, one guy needs to go over here and create a choke point.
Right.
Another person's going to go over here and get in a mage battle. This other person's going to go backstab this guy so that he can't flank them. And that strategic maneuver and then scaling it back down into the small scale at the drop of a hat just feels and looked absolutely fantastic. And they showed off a dragon fight.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it was, you know, I'm in a room with a huge screen and a surround sound, but it was the most, like, gut-wrenching dragon fight I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, God, there's like a D&D 8-year-old in my gut just in love.
Trying to hit that left foot to take the HP down.
Yeah, I mean, even that, right? Like, okay, it's a little tacky. Oh, knock down one of his feet and he'll fall down.
Whatever. I mean, that's more... That's just exposing the mechanics that most games have under the hood anyway.
Right, right.
Like, I mean, that's totally fine. I actually like that type of thing.
And I was having a conversation with a few others about Dragon Age versus The Witcher, because I felt like these were some of the two most praised games at
E3. Yeah.
And a lot of the comments were, oh, well, E3 seems more mature, it seems more, you know, a darker story, something that's a little bit more different, and Dragon Age Inquisition seems a bit less... powerful in terms of how it hits you with its world and its story. And I'm kind of weirded out by that, because I find the opposite to be true. Like, The Witcher to me seems like a sort of cliche dark fantasy. He's this sort of white-haired, he's got a couple of scars on his face.
I mean, he's a demon hunter.
Yeah, and I mean, even in the demo, he's like walking around and you see women, I'm like, oh, I can bed that woman. I can bed that woman over there.
Yeah.
My goodness. And there's a prostitute outside the inn and just like, oh, okay, I've seen this.
Yeah.
Dragon Age Inquisition, the world feels a little bit brighter, more colorful and less dark, a little bit more sort of fun fantasy to it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, BioWare has proven themselves time and again.
Yeah, they're the story people.
Yeah, they're the story people. Yeah. So if I'm going to trust anybody
in
BioWare, I will follow them to the grave. That sounds great.
Yeah. Other EA stuff, they had a couple quick hits, kind of almost vaporware style hits of the next Mass Effect and Mirror's Edge.
Ooh, yeah, Mirror's Edge.
I mean, that was just another gray box demo of, like,
Well, and what they showed looked exactly the same as the last Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were using, like, old footage and it's just a test idea, but I was kind of surprised because I feel like you kind of have to mix things up.
I think both of those were more like, hey, we're still doing these, remember.
Yeah,
like,
calm down, everybody. This stuff don't lose your shit.
Yeah. There was a really terrifying Sims demo that I showed Hana that looked kind of weird.
I should say, though, maybe you and Hana can speak to this better, but it feels like that, isn't that kind of what Sims fans want? Like, is that not what Sims fans want?
When,
Obama in their Sims?
Hana was watching the trailer, and she's like, they had that in Sims 2, and they took it out in Sims 3, and now they're putting it back in. And I was like, okay. I mean, I feel like...
Video games.
Yeah, I feel like they go back and forth a lot on The Sims and what they think people want out of The Sims.
Uh-huh.
And I think there is a contingent of people, Hana included, that do not, under any circumstances, want to play The Sims with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've always tried to make The Sims kind of social. And there are people that it's like, no, I play this the same way I play Minecraft. You know, like, I don't, you know, yeah. I don't want
people
that.
People play Minecraft socially.
They do, but there are then other people that create, like, the Death Star or whatever by themselves. Like, there's a group of people that want that as a sandbox, like an isolated thing. And I don't know. It was all very not gameplay-oriented.
Yeah, I mean, is this the concern about you can make a sim and then your friend's sims can sort of come into your world wholesale?
I think they kind of did that with Sims 3, too, if you were connected through your EA account or whatever. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't a very... kind of like Dragon Age, the Sims experience is you see a console, you zoom out, you queue up commands. You know, it's not.
Can
like
you murder people in The Sims yet?
I mean, I think you've been able to for a while, or at least put them in positions to die.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, like one Sim to another.
Oh, if you can actually take a Sim can take another Sim's life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know yet, but I mean. They had that, like, Grim Reaper or whatever like that, so, I mean, I think
I'm
so.
I'm not eavesdropping or anything, but no, you can't murder people in Sims.
Then that's what we need. You can't murder each other.
Yeah. Oh, maybe in Sims 4 you can.
It actually used to be easier. Like, in the original Sims, it was really easy to starve them to death or burn them to death.
Yeah.
But that's the human putting them in a position to die.
Yeah, I mean, like, so we could see, like...
But that's actually gotten harder over the years. Like, they made it harder and harder for you to kill your Sims.
Well, every Sims is like, oh, look, all the ways that you could totally bone this other person.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what The Sims is.
That's the thing we need to murder, like, people.
Bone Obama in this new one.
Yeah, finally,
that
at last.
Created a thing.
Thank you.
that was our Sims Minute, everyone.
Bye.
Our Sims expert. Hana.
Okay, we actually shouldn't pass this over. Before we go to Ubisoft, what is the deal with Battlefield?
I don't know, man.
What is that, man? Like, why?
Why would they... I mean, you know, it looks cool.
Sure.
Cops and robbers, but yeah. Battlefield 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. I just don't get it. I feel like this was one of the more... manufactured hype games. Like, we need to get some people excited about something. Oh, here's Battlefield with cops and robbers. Like,
you're right.
I don't... To me, Dragon Age and The Witcher are in a different tier than something like that in terms of kind of the ostentatious E3 experience and just the scope of the game itself.
But I mean, for Battlefield, is this any different than the way that most sort of multiplayer shooters work these days? Like, isn't this what Call of Duty kind of does?
Yeah, but they weren't on stage with what was basically a Call of Duty expansion pack.
Yeah.
Or what I see this as, like, a mod. Like, this is basically if you go back in 15 years and say, here's, like... Counter-Strike, or, you know, like...
What I find so weird is that the positioning of Hardline to their fans is probably most egregious.
Yeah.
Because the people that I've seen who are, like, hardcore Battlefield fans are the ones that are most upset by this.
Right.
And are the ones that are vocal about this being crap. You know, they took... Battlefield took out modding from the game series, and now a lot of people are saying, oh, well, the reason is they just don't want competitors.
Yeah. That's, ooh, yikes.
And that's a brutal perspective for, like, major influencers to have on your game. And I think the true test, as we often say, is if you're complaining about it, don't buy it, man, when it comes out. And we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
My guess is that it's in this loop where we can get away with so much of this kind of stuff because if, you know, if you and 10 of your friends are hardcore Battlefield fans and you want to play with them... And two of them go, then another will go, and then pretty soon, you all have to move to Battlefield Hardline, because that's where your friends are. That's where you're having that multiplayer experience. That's where the best multiplayer action is happening.
It's like the MMO style. People just kind of...
MMO's less painful, because, you know, if everyone's sticking to that MMO, then all of those expansions are just sort of part of that experience.
Yeah,
you
know? Alright, maybe we'll move to Ubisoft now. Finally, I mean, a lot of stuff got leaked beforehand, so we knew this stuff was coming, but, like, Far Cry 4.
Yep.
They had a...
In Tibet. Some, like, wingsuit action going
on. Yeah, big trailer. Kind of this year's Voss, like, a weird unhinged villain.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, not as, like, overtly colonial or racist as the cover would have led us to believe.
Yes, yeah.
I thought that was a pretty funny trailer.
He's like a
mixed
race British individual.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, it's pretty classic, evil, crazy guy. And I think they finally found their little formula with, like, some of the chaos of Far Cry 2, but a bit more directed, like Far Cry 3. And this is probably what they're going to stick with for a while.
Yep, I think so. I'm actually a little bit, I'm a little bit more hopeful for this one, to be honest. Like, I think the setting is pretty cool. I liked Far Cry 3. Yeah, I know you did, and I wasn't the biggest fan of it, but I don't know. I think the setting looks a little cooler when you see that, like, wingsuit through through the sort of Andes.
Yeah.
I actually did get a chance to play it on the show floor a little bit. It was unfortunate because the audio was dead. Nah. Like, my speaker didn't work, which means I can't sort of, you know, direct where people are shooting at me from, and I kept dying, but... Yeah. Pachyderm violence, right? What can go wrong with that?
It like Far Cry 4, Assassin's Creed. What were they calling it?
Assassin's Creed Unity.
Unity was kind of, it had this latent multiplayer aspect to it, where people can. It seems like you can party up in some to some extent, and you know, float around in other people's games.
The multiplayer aspect of it is by far the coolest thing that Unity has to offer.
Yeah. I thought, it's hard to tell, again, this E3 was pretty egregious in terms of passing things off as gameplay that were certainly not unscripted gameplay, but I thought the crowds looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they've been talking about, or rumored to be doing, a French Revolution Assassin's Creed for, like, years now.
Yeah, and so they're finally doing it.
Yeah. I just don't know, I haven't even played Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
And I've played, that means I have already played 3 Assassin's Creeds.
Mm-hmm. And this will be number, like,
this 7. Will be 6 or 7 or something. Yeah, yeah. Like, and when they bring up that HUD and that menu, it's like, oh, okay.
Here we are again.
Here's Assassin's Creed. Yeah. I don't know.
I think, you know, I am a fan of the Assassin's Creed series. I've played all of them. I haven't finished the last one. I guess
The Black Flag?
Yeah, Black Flag. I should probably get around to doing that one of these days. But, you know, the French Revolution, I think, is a ripe place to go. Yeah. I would have loved other places first, but I think that there could be cool sort of narrative content there.
I want to know what kind of animus wackiness is happening.
What animus,
like,
suggests?
Yeah, like, what is, you know, are they still doing that weird thing from Black Flag where it's like, you're testing a video game? Like, is that the sort of thing? Or is, like...
I love that premise. I think that's fantastic.
Is, like, Desmond's cousin is also now here or something?
Do you think that... So, in the animus world, right? In the real world. So, there's, like, the regular world. Yeah. And then there's, like, the game testers. And you're an animus tester.
Yep.
Do you think that you'll have an opportunity to ask them why you can't play as a female assassin?
Oh, in the game? That would be too cheeky, I think. I mean, that would be amazing. But that would also be... I mean, that's like poking the bear. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Why would? Okay, other UB things. There's a lot of hard swings in this press conference.
Yeah, there's a large Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
Trailer.
I thought that was actually kind of weird and kind of gross that it was like some screaming lady the whole time.
Yeah.
It was
interesting to see people's guess at what that would be.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was like, oh, maybe it's a new Splinter Cell, But that old school sort of set up what your plan is going to be and then execute it.
Yeah,
Rainbow is a good, Six. Yeah, that's a good direction. I like that.
Was The Division also Ubisoft, or is that somebody else?
The Division is, I believe it's Ubisoft.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
That's Tom Clancy. He has his own thing.
Yeah, well, no, Tom Clancy is Rainbow Six.
Oh, he's also The Division. It's Tom Clancy's The Division.
Clancy is all over the place.
Isn't he dead really? Now?
Oh, yeah. Tom Clancy, like, died early and tragically, like, last year or the year before or something.
So who's running this show?
I mean, Tom Clancy turned himself into a corporation, basically. Tom Clancy is a franchise.
Genius.
Yeah, The Division, that was a pretty rough trailer as well, because, like, it was the invisible, like, apocalypse, basically, where you just saw the environment degrading with the voices of the people in it.
Although I'm getting more and more positive towards that game.
I guess I don't really know what it is. I guess it's just a shooter, you know,
it's like an open world. I love and I guess this is kind of this is kind of weird, but I'm a fan of that, like, type of interface that they've been using for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Splinter Cell did it, where the HUD is sort of pretty minimal. I think Ubisoft in general does a pretty good job with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, their HUD stuff.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah. And The Division has this cool setup where when you go to the map, it sort of comes and materializes out like a hologram from the world that you're in.
Yeah, that was neat.
I like all that stuff. And also in the gameplay trailer for The Division, the NPCs that you're with comment on the battle specifically based upon the context that you're in.
Mm.
Almost like Bastion's character will comment on it. That's really smart, and that's not something I've seen in a first-person shooter, where they say, oh, you know, watch your flank, this guy's coming around here. Yeah. You know, they comment on the battle as it's happening.
Right.
That's great. I think that looks really cool. Yeah. I mean, again, you're right, we've seen very little of what it actually is.
Right.
But if what we've seen is a consistent sort of atmospheric and sort of beautiful design, visual design thing from here on out, then I think I'm pretty hopeful.
Yeah. And then rounding out the total upper that was Ubisoft's press conference was Valiant Hearts.
Yeah.
The World War One video game, 2D, seemingly narrated by the internal monologue of a dog that ended with like him looking out over a cemetery of like thousands of dead soldiers.
Yeah.
I still thought that looked the most interesting because, A, it wasn't like just the normal kind of shooter Assassin's Creed thing, and also because like they would put out something like that on the E3 stage.
Yeah, this is by...
How many World War One games are there, by the way?
Gosh.
Other than strategy Medal games?
Of Honors, maybe? Yeah. Is there... There's a couple
there Medal must, of Honors. Yeah, there must have been a World War One Medal of Honors. Yeah, there were a few, definitely, but like... It's rare to see a World War One game. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for Valiant Hearts, for sure.
Yeah.
I went to an event for them quite a while ago where they showed it off, and one of the designers had brought his grandfather's dog tags.
Oof.
So it's, I mean, you know, I'm not, that doesn't give him necessary authenticity over the game, but, you know, he had
Well, it gives people, like, you know, Ubisoft, right? Like, French people suffered far more in World War One than we did as Americans, so, like, there is kind of an extra cultural component.
Yeah, I believe that they'll probably treat that subject matter with a lot of respect.
Yeah. Okay, and then Aisha Tyler was there making
goofs.
You know, she was doing her best.
I think she does a great job.
I think she does a great job, too. It's hard to do with those press conferences because you have this script and you have to figure out what to do with it.
I mean, she's no Jamie Foxx or Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, Jamie Kennedy, the best E3 host. Okay, PS4. The Sony press conference.
Sony press conference.
I remember there's lots of pixel art indie games in a montage there.
Oh, yeah, they're like, we indie games, we got this.
Yeah. There was a game from Suda51 that I thought would be interesting called Let It Die.
I don't know what that is either.
It to me, so I did like some sleuthing in the trailer, and I think it may be.
Third-person action fighting game?
Third-person, but maybe more of a turn-based thing. Because I saw little meters coming off of people, and people standing in such a way that gave me a somewhat XCOM-like vibe.
Weird. Okay.
We'll see if that's actually what it is or not. It could just be anything. I mean,
it's
with Suda, it could be anything. There was a couple other pretty, like, obscure, or actually... Not necessarily obscure, but impressionistic games like Entwined and Abzu. Abzu, I forget how they pronounced it. Abzu, art director and composer of Journey.
Yep.
So they're continuing.
Austin Wintry and the other fellow.
Yeah. I wrote down lots of, quote, will make its console debut, end quote, where it's like, these aren't exclusive games. We're just kind of pretending like they are.
Yeah, it's the same with Microsoft. I mean, they did it with Destiny as well. Like, oh, the first couple months.
Yeah, Destiny just has had a huge presence in all Sony events since they've announced it.
I mean, of course.
I guess it's just interesting to see. And I didn't play any of it, nor did I play any of the alpha that just happened this last week.
Yeah, I haven't touched it.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how that goes. No Man's Sky made another.
I still call shenanigans on that game.
My little note that I wrote to myself was, does anyone remember Spore? And it's not that I want this to not be good.
Yeah, of course. I want all games to be
good. Yeah, it's just that they are promising everything.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you can't... And also, this might sound like a weird complaint.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen, like, they go to a couple planets, there's some dinosaurs and shit. I kept thinking... You're probably coming at this from a very, like, Earth-centric perspective. I want to see, like, go to a planet and it's toxic gas. You can't see anything.
Carbon-based life forms.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, helium-based, like, liquid jellies with, like, 60 appendages that are just, like, constantly emitting noise that sounds like children screaming or something. Like, go bizarre. Make it really uncomfortable.
Yeah. I was, those guys actually sound like really nice folks. I heard them on a couple podcasts where they were explaining like how they kind of spot check their procedural generated stuff where they just have a server kind of scrolling around the various worlds that have been generated, and it takes small clips, like animated GIF style things, that they can then zoom out on a screen to kind of spot check, oh, like, okay, it truly is still random, there's a lot of blue here, there's a lot of red here, like, it's not just all one type of character in all these planets, like, the logistics of what they're doing is very impressive. It's just, and I hope it's all that I want it to be, but it's, we've seen a lot of this stuff before.
Yeah, and I just don't know if we're there yet, like, just technologically speaking. Yeah. That's such an endeavor.
Yeah.
If you really want to go out there and make everything your own.
Yeah. Sony had a lot of, I guess for lack of a better term, ecosystem stuff. Mm-hmm. They got their Morpheus, they have their PlayStation TV.
Yep, showed off all those good stuff.
PSN Now. Which I actually think PSN Now is going to be pretty sweet when that gets up and running.
I mean, it's an answer. It's an answer to the fact that none of these consoles are backwards compatible.
Yeah. And the idea that maybe Sony will finally save itself because it made some heavy investments in televisions that they've been hemorrhaging money.
Yeah, the fact that you can play some of them directly from Sony TVs. Yeah. By the way, I mean, not to shill it. I have a Sony TV. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
The Sony Roku box for $99.
Yeah.
Pretty cheap, cost effective. Definitely could see people getting that for now.
Right.
And they didn't announce the pricing model, but my hope is that they just wrap that into the PSN subscription.
Yeah.
Which would be just amazing. That's a great reason to pick one up. I mean, in terms of
just, you know, $10 standard PS Now price is $20 or $15 or something like that. I mean, they have the infrastructure in place, and now it's just about, like, delivering the service and making sure that they can serve those games at an acceptable latency.
It was interesting to watch this sequence of events after the Microsoft press conference. Because you could tell Sony's like, okay, we have some breathing room.
Yep.
Let's make sure we get this stuff right.
Yeah.
We'll sort of do what Microsoft did last year.
Yeah.
But now, you know, this is our game to lose.
Yep.
So we don't really have to do much work. Yeah.
There was a Mortal Kombat 10 / X. Mortal Kombat X.
Got to play that.
Yeah. We were both pretty big fans of their reboot of MK9. So
hardcore fighting game fans, I get it why you hate these games. These games are meant to be watched, and they're fantastic.
Yeah. MGS5, The Phantom Pain.
God.
I wrote down so many knives.
This is the best trailer I've ever seen. I love it.
When he opens the ash and puts his hand in it and spreads it on his face.
Like, what are you doing? Yeah, like, what is happening in this trailer? The slow zoom on, like, a dog patch?
Yeah.
I don't know who this guy is. Yeah. And it slow zooms on, like, a little patch that's, like, something dogs or whatever. I'm like, I don't know the significance of that. Outrageous. And this trailer is, like, 5 minutes long. Oh, yeah. This is a huge Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain trailer.
Classic Kojima.
Makes no sense. Yeah. I love it.
But, I mean, we, both of us quite liked, mechanically anyway, quite liked Ground Zeroes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this looks to be, like, the realization of, like, oh, okay, well, we did a little sandbox test. Let's just, you know, now let's add 3 hours of cutscenes in here.
This is the funniest game that not enough people realize how hilarious this
is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's always been Metal Gear.
Yeah.
But now it's gotten to a point where, like, the fidelity is such that you really have to step back and take a look at the absurdity.
Just inhale the absurdity. Like, yeah, it's amazing.
I'm very much looking forward to that game.
Oh, yeah.
That might be one of the things that drives me to buy a PS4. I'm sure it'll be on the Xbox One, too. Probably. Like the last one was, but because, you know...
But on PS4 first.
Yeah, exactly. I get it 2 weeks early. Because, like, Destiny, like, I can get that on, you know, the PC, too, so it's weird. And then they had a trailer for Uncharted. My theory is going to be that Sully is dead by the end of this Uncharted.
Yeah, I was really surprised that it's an old Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. I'm excited.
Well, older, right? How old is he?
I mean, he looks pretty gruff. Mid-40s, maybe? Yeah. I mean, the point
is... he has a gut.
He's got a lot of regret.
Yeah.
He bought, like, a really shitty Mustang because it's all he could afford. I mean, what does he do for a living at this point? He's given up.
I mean, he steals treasure, I guess.
Well, he's given up the treasure. That's why he's.
Oh yeah, where's Elena?
Like, he's probably having a midlife crisis. That's he's like, true. Sully, dude, I'm gonna die of an alcohol poisoning.
Nathan Drake in the midlife crisis. I'm pretty sure, and it said like a thief's end, and Sully said like, "All right, I'll help you one last time." I'm pretty sure Sully's dead by the end of this game.
Don't make me sad.
Well,
you forgot Bloodborne.
Oh right, yes, yeah. Did you play that?
No, it's not playable. It wasn't playable. Oh, okay. As far as I understand. Okay.
I watched an interview with Patrick Klepek where he was talking about, he went to an interview, but it was a group interview, mm-hmm. and he was saying some people who didn't really know anything about the Souls games, and they were asking, like, will there be an easy mode? And he was just like,
and he was just like, Miyazaki was just laughing and laughing.
He said he didn't even laugh. He just said, no. And then Patrick, since he likes those games, started asking, like, you know, insider baseball questions, like, oh, have you adjusted the stamina meter? Have you done this? So it's like, it looks very much like one of these games.
So, I don't know if you know this, but what is the sort of political reality such that this is not a Souls game? Like, why is this not Demon Souls or Dark Souls when it's clearly it?
I don't know.
I mean, people are even talking about
it. It's from software, too. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe they...
What is the rights quagmire that is like?
That's true. Because, I mean, I think Atlas... Did Atlas publish any of that stuff? Or is
I
it...
think they published Demon Souls.
There could be a lot of weird stuff. Or it could just be like, why did they change from Demons to Dark Souls? Like, they could have... I mean, it's... There's, I guess, in very much similar to the way Metal Gear operates, the absurdity extends outside of the game itself to be also in the marketing and development of the game.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah. But that game looks pretty neat, and just the reception of that game is astounding to me. Like, people are so excited about this game that is essentially impossible for a large subsection of the population.
That's pretty amazing.
In a world where games are increasingly accessible, one of the most popular things of the show is something that is knowingly difficult.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
we should also say my heart broke when they did not announce The Last Guardian. My heart broke. I cannot
believe that.
They were showing...
Not even one word about it.
Not a single word. Yeah. And they... Those fucking assholes. Yeah. When they started doing, like, Sony computer... Like, oh, we've got one more trailer for SCA. You guys. Oh, SCA. Okay. Like, Uncharted. I was like, oh my... This is it. This is it. And I'm at the press conference. Yeah. Like, I'm in the studio and I'm, like, looking around being like, oh my
God. Guys, this is it. Strap in. It's everything. Yeah. And then you see fucking Drake's stupid face.
Like, Nolan... Look, Nolan, I love you, man. Yeah. But no.
I just want to see that open up and then a dragon dog eat him at the
end. Well, and it's crazy, too, because at the beginning of this week, IGN received a bunch of flack because they falsely announced that the game was canceled, and then...
Yeah. And then it didn't show up anyway.
Didn't show in anyway.
I also watched the... Nintendo didn't have a press conference, but they did have a Nintendo Direct. You didn't see this, right?
No, I didn't. I did not watch it. I mean, I saw the announcements. I saw that they... releasing the, what is it, the like a WaveBird adapter, basically?
Oh, yeah, but that happened before.
Oh, did E3. It? Okay.
Yeah, it was I don't know if it can actually accept WaveBird, but definitely GameCube.
Okay.
They opened with various Miis, kind of like joking around in like Tomodachi lifestyle, various, they even made a joke about like, oh, like, are they finally gonna like localize Mother 3? Like, which is weird and hilarious that they're calling that out. Then I think the Mother 3 joke happened in the Robot Chicken sections.
Are they
of
localizing
this.
Mother 3?
Oh no, they're not. This is just a Robot Chicken joke.
That's a dick move. Okay.
Robot Chicken did like the interstitials.
But
they had a big Smash Brothers thing where Reggie, Fiza May, and Satoru Iwata fought physically in like a kung fu style like wire action thing.
Awesome.
They showed that stuff. You know, again, man, I'm just trolling left and right here, but I think the Smash Brothers for 3DS kind of looks like crap.
Yeah, I played it on the show floor on the 3DS.
Yeah. It's rough looking.
It doesn't look good.
And I feel like that is finally testament to like Nintendo's fully embraced the kind of high-res art asset mindset.
Yeah.
And it's kind of rough to go back to 3DS now. Yeah. Like when you can compare the two, like, you know, apples to apples, it's like, ugh, this looks kind of weird.
Yeah. But I mean, I could see people wanting to get their Smash Brothers juice on the go.
Yes. They had some Miis, like you can play as a Mii in it. They showed Elijah Wood and Ice-T as Miis.
Yeah, I find it so weird that you can play as a Mii. And actually, I don't know, it kind of weirds me out because I feel like so much of the Smash Brothers universe that I like is the fact that you're playing against characters with movesets that are sort of defined by who they are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I don't like the idea. Like, I think, if you were to come to my house and were like, oh, I'm going to create a Mii character real quick, I'd be like, no. No, right. You're not.
No, you're not. You're playing Mark.
Young Link or nothing. Yeah, like, you know? Yeah, no. Like, screw that. Yeah. I don't want people to use Miis.
What if I came over to your house with a small figurine of Mario and put it on the game tablet, and then Mario popped into the game?
That'd be pretty sweet.
Well, good, because that's what they're gonna do.
Yeah, this is the like Skylanders, yes, style.
I have heard this called Toys to Life.
Is that what it's called? Is this the genre?
That is Toys the genre. Yeah. Wow.
There's others now.
Disney Infinity, yeah, and Skylanders.
Shards of Fate.
Yeah. So they're going to do this. Apparently, there's also going to be a hook into the new Mario Kart with this. They're going to patch in support for this.
I mean, we've talked about it before. It's a money printing machine.
Oh, yeah.
Of course they're going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not only by the who game. Kids, by the figures. Yeah. Like,
who else now? 2K needs to do this? We need, like, an Uncharted your, like, action figure?
Elizabeth doll from Bioshock Infinite. Yeah. So, I mean, that stuff is going to be a moneymaker, I think. They showed a Yoshi's game. I forget, Yoshi's Yarn something or other. It's kind of like that Kirby Yarn game. Yarn,
but for Yoshi.
Yeah.
That's a good game.
And I think if you like Yoshi's Island, it had the same type of, like, yeah, aiming mechanic thing.
And if you like Yarn.
If you like Yarn.
You know.
There was a Kirby's Canvas Curse style game where you can draw paths for Kirby to go on, and then Kirby travels the path on the gamepad, which I thought was, like, great, because it's a reason that the gamepad exists. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of, like, reinvesting here. What else did they have? Oh, Mario Maker?
Yeah, that's a really... I like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
I really am curious to know if Nintendo has any plans on offering that for free in any way to schools.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's really cool educational opportunities for Mario Maker. In terms of just learning design, learning how quickly you can move from, like, you know, iterating something.
Right.
Because you can just hop right in and start playing it.
Yeah.
You know?
And plus, like, Mario is, you know, the quintessential tile-based platformer. Yeah. So, like, it's given the tools, you can quickly do stuff, like you were saying.
And there's two things that I think really shines for that game. One is, you know, a long time ago, people were already hacking together insanely difficult Mario things. To give that opportunity to anybody, great idea. And two, they haven't announced it yet, but they'd be idiotic if they didn't give you the ability to share maps to your friends.
Yeah.
If I could make a challenge for you, like, oh, I made a 5-minute level, Scott,
and it was
fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Right? That would be amazing. I think that's such a clever idea.
Yeah. And then sharing that stuff, like pushing that stuff out. Yep. I mean, obviously this is Nintendo, so they won't really do this.
Yeah, but, I mean, we didn't actually mention Little Big Planet 3 from the Sony press conference, but I think the idea of taking Mario and using the tablet as a strong suit for really creating a easily manipulable environment.
You have your canvas, basically, that you can do stuff on.
I think that's fantastic. Speaking of Little Big Planet, real quick,
That
got the biggest applause at the Sony press conference, I think.
It's really interesting because it's not Media Molecule.
Yeah.
Who knows what happened there, but let's see. What else do we got? Did you see Splatoon?
I did. I played it, actually. It's really good. That game
seems great.
It's really good. Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. It uses the tablet to both, like, map out. You've got a map of where you need to go, but anywhere you put
it is a third person. It is essentially a third person shooter.
Yeah, that's a third person shooter.
Yeah, by Nintendo.
Yeah, but it's so smart. Like, where the ink is on the map is where you can safely travel to.
Yeah.
So you create all these sorts of weird little environments.
The ink creates little oceans that you can dive into as a squid and then pop up in other areas that are painted like colors.
And you can go on walls as well. Yeah. So there are really some clever locations where if you paint, like, a ramp, you can go into a squid form and zoom up that ramp, and then you hop up and now you have an aerial attack, and it's great.
And again, it's like a brand new thing from Nintendo.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming in a million years. It doesn't really seem like a Nintendo thing. Like, Nintendo doesn't really do shooter-type stuff that much.
It feels like a Nickelodeon game.
Yeah, but it just... I was watching it, and I instantly understood why that game would be fun.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah,
like, that's... I think that's a sign of good design.
Yeah. And then finally, there's going to be a Zelda.
More Zelda.
They said it was in-game footage.
That is not Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, not... Yes. Yes, did you have any hands-on time with Hyrule Warriors?
God, no. I wouldn't touch that with a pole. Are you kidding?
You're not doing your due diligence. The Zelda stuff, people kind of crap their pants over it, but I was kind of cynical and be like, all right, well, show me some actual gameplay, not like a highly stylized cutscene of gameplay.
Yep.
They were saying all the right things. Like, we're going to make a more open Zelda. We went back to the first Zelda and realized why people liked it. And it's because you could do anything at any time. So I was like, yes, finally. Yes. They finally read my posts.
my letters have arrived at Nintendo HQ.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is, you know, a cautiously optimistic I say this cautiously optimistically, which is like, okay, it sounds like they might be understanding why, you know, Skyward Sword was a pretty big disappointment.
Yeah.
And it's about exploration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not... The reason why I'm so excited about The Witcher is that it gives me the same sense that Zelda 1 did.
Right.
You know? Mm, things are truly dangerous. Things are big and open, and you can just figure out what to do. And, like, they were talking about that.
Go where you like, but suffer the consequences.
Yeah, I mean, you know, figure it out, which I thought was good. Yeah. So those were the big ones. I feel like those are most of the games, but any gems or any things that we might have skipped over?
Gosh, we talked a little bit about The Witcher. Mm-hmm. I think that looks great.
Yeah.
We talked to Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good. They mentioned...
Fantasy is going to be a big year for... Yeah. Like
EA briefly mentioned Mass Effect is on the way. We've all known that. They didn't really show much.
Yeah.
But that's exciting. You know, I think that there's so many opportunities for Mass Effect that I'm absolutely thrilled for that.
Anything else?
Indiecade was cool. There's some cool indie games.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
I only got a chance to play a few.
But was it pretty big presence? Like, was there a lot of
people? There was a lot of people. There was always a line. And I went back a few times to see if I can get my hands on stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was crowded. It's really cool to see that it's grown. Maybe not in terms of where it's at, but the presence there.
Right.
But they had things like Below were there, for example. Which is, I mean, a little weird because that's tied to Microsoft and is a huge game.
It was also...
Sharing space with, like, student games.
Yeah, I mean, it's the line between those student games and something like Below.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see some of those things make it on stage somehow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's people like Jonathan Blow that are nowhere to be seen.
Yeah,
you know?
We talked about this for, like, Indie Game of the Movie, and it comes up quite a bit. And certainly indie developers deal with it all the time, which is that border between indie and sort of big publishers.
Right.
But I think the point being is there's clearly a lot of interest in this stuff. You see it at the Sony press conference this year and last year. You're finally seeing it in a big way at the Microsoft conference. You know, there is room for this type of smaller, cheaper game to experience that plays around with genre conventions or narrative conventions or visual conventions to provide really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the team who's doing Limbo is creating their own game. I forget what it's called, but
it's called something like Last Light or something like that. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, I don't remember, but it looks great. It looks really cool. And the idea that there's plenty of presence at E3 for that kind of content is great.
Yeah. Okay, last question. What was the best and worst thing you ate when you were at E3?
Oh my god. The worst? Oh, I had a croissant.
That was the worst?
Oh, it was the worst.
It wasn't like...
This wasn't my first time at the rodeo here, okay? I avoided the food courts as best I could.
That's a rookie mistake,
But I was hungover, and I needed coffee and some food in my stomach,
croissant,
and all I had was a croissant, and it was garbage.
Why was the croissant bad?
It was kind of like, imagine like a really dense piece of bread with like a hint of like, I can't believe it's not butter.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like a day old.
Oof.
And it's like greasy on the outside.
Is there any ham in this croissant?
Nothing. It was just a plain croissant. Maybe that was
butter?
My first mistake.
A little butter in there?
Oh, there was something. I just can't believe it's not butter.
Some butter-like product in there?
Yeah, there was a fat in there.
Oh, God. That sounds rough.
And the best thing. Water,
just straight up hydration.
No, so
bottled water.
They have food trucks outside, and those food trucks are pretty good.
Yeah,
they have a pretty good wet
pretty
burrito.
Good. Yeah.
They put lettuce in the burrito. I'm not a big.
Ooh, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in LA, getting bottled water so you don't have to drink the thing that is basically on fire out of the tap. That's a pretty good treat.
Yeah,
I like that aspect. Well, this is successful. I mean, you're here.
I'm alive.
You didn't get dysentery or anything.
Nope. Taking the day off.
Yeah.
Purell.
Purell.
Thanks again.
Did you drink Purell? Because I would have. Yeah. I ran out
midway through.
I'd get
and
the shits.
Just as I was running out, I went to an appointment and they had hand sanitizer.
Oh,
there.
Thank God.
For all you developers and publishers out there, bring hand sanitizer for your guests at E3, and they will love you forever.
Oh man, that's. I remember. I think when we went a couple years ago. I think I was just like huffing it. It was like Silence of the Lambs style, like putting on my upper lip. Like
just... All the best booths have like a big jug that you just squirt out.
Yeah. That's crucial. Well, those are George's war stories and my electronic war stories from E3. Interested to hear what people liked out of the show most. Experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our convention center on the internet. Come pay us a visit. Also, if you get a chance, leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us find new listeners.
Yep. All right. Until next week, everyone, thanks so much for listening. We'll be talking to you next week.
Chowder. I'm gonna take that and I'm gonna put it at the end of the. Or you should put it.
Yeah.
Everything's great, but old Randy Newman just keeps playing his tune.
Randy Newman fucking stalked me the entire time I was in LA for E3.
Fucking Randy Newman.
Alright. Welcome back, everybody. Oh, sorry. What did you say?
I was gonna ask if you would recognize Randy Newman on the street. Probably not. I wouldn't.
I mean, not, maybe not anymore. Maybe like, you know, 1990s.
You look familiar.
Yeah.
I'm Randy Newman.
Yeah, it's like, I got this piano. I mean, if I saw a bum, like, playing the piano. Fucking rolling a piano around, but that's it.